Blog Talk Radio.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruption. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Detroit from 29 District. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
Hello and welcome to Provocative Thought, intimately known as PT, striving to awaken those who are asleep. Stimulate those who are awakened. Feed those who are starving. And nurture those who seek to know. I am your host, a self-proclaimed student of life in the search, discovery, and revelation of life on life's terms. First, I'd like to thank We Talk Productions for allowing me to host this show. I'd also like to thank the creator for allowing me to be. You can contact the show by dialing 516-531-9540. Please press the number one to speak. You can contact the show by dialing 516-531-9540. 40, please press the number one to speak. You can reach us on the internet at www.blogtalkradio.com. Go to search, type in We Talk Productions, and listen to the show live. You can also contact us on Facebook at Provocative Thought PT Community Organization. Tonight's topic: Free John Johnson, Grand Master Grandmaster J. Grandmaster J, founder of the NFAC, was found guilty of pointing a rifle at officers during Louisville protests and all of that without a shot being fired. Now, maybe some of you guys may have never heard of the NFAC. It stands for the Not Effing Around Coalition. But I don't mean they don't say effing. I'm saying effing. Right? Okay, it was formed basically, you know, in defense of black folks and injustice. Right? Anyway, it's no coincidence that every time a black man of influence comes on the scene, the enemy seeks to terminate his influence and power. The Black Panther Party was formed in defense of the tyranny and brutality perpetrated on the black community by the racist, fascist law enforcement organizations in Los Angeles and Oakland, California, thus the United States, right? The truth is, it was an America that was a little more openly racist that they faced back then. Guys who were, you know, on the line back then, Martin Luther King, Medgar Evers, Malcolm X, Marcus Garvey, Huey P. Newton, Bobby Seale, Elders Cleveland, name a few of the Panthers, right? So the NFAC was born out of the continued tyranny of police and the brutality of black people in the United States. It is a highly organized, disciplined, and armed militant group that exercises their constitutional right to bear arms. But if they, that's a bunch of guys running around with guns trying to shoot people, right? That's not who these guys are. So they're highly organized, disciplined, and armed militant group exercising their constitutional right to bear arms. So there will be no beating them in the head with nightsticks, kicking them in the ass, water hosing them without severe consequences, right? So you're not going to treat them like, you know, they don't count for nothing. Like Martin Luther King got treated, Medgar Evers and all of them got treated during their marches. Just want to, this takes me back to COINTELPRO, right? I think that was from 1956 to 19 officially, because it was officially a practice, right? I think J. Edgar started that 1956 to 1976, right? Counterintelligence used by the FBI included sending undercover agents into the Black Party, where they incited criminal acts and much of the violence that the public came to negatively associate with the Black Panthers, right? COINTELPRO targeted the Communist Party, the Socialist Party, the Workers' Party, the American Indian Movement, those considered parts of the New Left, the KKK, most acutely, right? Black civil rights and militant black nationalist groups, right? Focus on the Black Panther Party, Malcolm X, and the Nation of Islam. Those are all the prominent, highly organized organizations where black people got together and, you know, started uniting and doing things together, moving together and doing something, growing, right? They sought to undermine, intimidate, and slander leaders like Martin Luther King, as I just mentioned. And they planted informants, video surveillance, wiretapping, as well as phone call campaigns and false letter writing to sow intra-group discord, right? Now, that's a whole show in itself right there, but just to give you an idea of how law enforcement has responded to black people in America's response to their the tyranny in this country, right? They sought to dismantle the unity and organization of emerging black organizations that were born out of the need to defend black lives subjected to the historic abuse and tyranny of and in the good old USA, right? Because I know a lot of people like to think that things are a lot better here in the country. And in some ways, they are better. That's not, that wouldn't be a lie. But we still have a, long way to go. Hence, so I think there were two agencies on the rooftops: the U.S. Secret Service and the LMPD, right? Louisville Metro, the police department. I guess that's what the M stands for. Anyway. So I don't know if my audience, if I don't even know if anybody's listening. Because this seems like this history just going in a circle to me. And it seems like we on this hamster wheel of marching, protesting, forming these groups, and getting very little done out of people putting their lives on the line. I mean, I get a response. If nobody wants to, they want to deal with our response to being to injustice and not the injustice. It just, come on now. We've been here for hundreds of years. We're going to end this or not. Anyway. John Johnson, right, also known as Grandmaster J, right? He walked into the Gene Snyder U.S. Courthouse and Custom House in downtown Louisville, Kentucky. That's where, I think that's where Muhammad Ali is from. After he won the gold medal, he came back, threw his medal in the river because there was, you know, because of the racism in America, right? That's the way it was portrayed, you know. He definitely didn't go to war because of that, because of racist treatment, the poor treatment that black people were systemically afforded in this country back then, right? Anyway, he faced charges of assaulting and brandishing a firearm against federal officers. So he's one man. They came to Louisville because they were protesting the murder of Breonna Taylor. Now, we're going to get into that a little bit. That case was in 2020. I know they say we have short memories that we would probably forget about Breonna Taylor. Anyway, found him guilty of assaulting and pointing a firearm at law enforcement officials during the racial justice protest, right, in downtown Louisville, right? So just that alone, how many people ever heard of somebody pointing a weapon at law enforcement? And he lived it. Go to court. Unscathed. We got guys getting shot with no weapon. How often does that occur? Right? We got guys getting murdered and people in fear for their lives, and the guys don't have a gun. Not to speak of a bunch of guys with guns, military grade weapons with them. So yet this guy's a John Johnson, Grandmaster Jack, leader of the not effing around coalition, right? Found a way to charge him with assaulting and pointing a firearm at law enforcement, right? The story gets even weirder, stranger, right? He had an AR-15 rifle. I guess that might be the most popular rifle in America. I thought it was the AK, but it seemed like the AR has taken on place. Anyway, he had an AR-15 rifle, right? Say he pointed it at an FBI agent, a Secret Service agent, and a Louisville Metro police officers while they were on the roof of a building, right? The night before the Kentucky Derby, right? They say that a federal grand jury indicted Johnson in February 2021 on one count of assaulting, resisting, or impeding certain officers or employees, and one count of brandishing a firearm in relation to a crime of violence. And so far, I haven't mentioned anybody shooting anybody, shooting at somebody, anything like that. So pay attention to that. He faces at least a minimum, let's say it's a minimum of 7 years in prison, right, without parole. And I think it's up to 20 years in prison, right? So they came to Louisville in July, and it was an opposing group there, right? Also in attendance, and there was no violence, right? And that's very interesting, that in July the 2nd, opposing armed groups, right, and no violence. We know the NFAC met with police and does not have a history of violence, not to mention reckless behavior or violence, right? We know that's a fact. They're not known for going around state to state having shootouts. Not their reputation. They're very organized, very disciplined organization, right? In the September 4th incident, the officers on the roof were blinded by a light, which they shortly thereafter determined, right? They were blinded by a light, right? That they shortly thereafter determined was a flashlight, but that flashlight was mounted on the rifle being aimed at them by Johnson. Okay? That's according to the federal complaint. So he's not, this is worded in a way to say that he's aiming his rifle at them and not aiming the light that's on its rifle, right? It doesn't make sense, because if he's aiming his rifle, he should have fired a couple rounds off, right? But he's aiming his light, and that's why the light was on the rooftop and no gunshots were fired, because he was looking, right? So shortly after means that at the time, they did not perceive, think, or feel that they were in any danger, right, of anything or being threatened. They didn't perceive that wasn't a perception, because shortly after they determined flight was mounted to the rifle, right? So it means that law enforcement perceived that a light was shine on the rooftop. So that was all that happened. That supports that. Now, of course, all this has already took place. Grandmaster Jay, John Johnson has already been found guilty. But I'm just going to go over some of the things that I, you know, read about the case, because it just seems so strange that we had this situation. Anyway, police has, I said, the officers wanted on this, the Jefferson County grand jury building, right, to keep an eye on the protests for safety reasons, right? So they on top of the roofs for safety reasons, right? They ain't been helping too many people up on the roof. So maybe they did it for eyes. And so maybe somebody on the ground checking out where the actual people are. Anyway, the Louisville sergeant said Johnson met with the Louisville Police Department personnel before they went to protest, right, and was told only law enforcement would be on the rooftops that weekend, right? So they were advised not to point weapons at any officers during the protests, right? Johnson's sentencing is scheduled for August the 22nd. A federal district court judge will make a decision using the U.S. sentencing guidelines, right? So, basically what we have is a flashlight at the tip of a gun, right? It was a rifle, right? We got Jay. He was told that police would be on the roof and not to point a weapon at officers, right? Jay was pointing his light at the rooftop because he was concerned about activity on the roof. Without malice towards the officers. He just met with these guys, right? Has a reputation for being disciplined and not a reputation for being a recklessly violent individual, right? I'm sure, right? If Grandmaster Jay wanted to, he could have shot a couple of those gentlemen on the roof. Apparently he's a trained soldier. Jay didn't shoot because he was using the flashlight on the end of his gun barrel to see on the roof, not shoot. He was using the flashlight on the end of his gun barrel to see up on the roof, not to shoot. That's not worthy of any jail or prison time unless you want it to result in jail or prison time. A conviction, right, which been convicted, would take Jay's right to bear arms away, not to mention take Jay away to jail, thus cutting the head off of the NFAC. state. See, that's a hell of a statement they're making here, because they're saying the man, right? Part of his ideology is to exercise his right to bear arms, right? We're going to take that from him. We can use this to do that. And here's how we're going to word it. Here's what we're going to call it. And here's how we're going to pursue it. And so far, they've been successful. Because Jay has been taken away to jail. I hope Ten Heads rise up in his stead. And they thought Malcolm X had too much power with an organized group of black men who were not visibly armed. Right? The lesson here is assume you are in hostile territory, no matter how much they smile, how hard they shake your hand, and how many black best friends they say that they had. You can never tell who the enemy is or who the enemy is manipulating, black, white, Latino, Asian, or other. My enemy is my enemy, be he from within or abroad. That's a quote. It's odd that no one fears police brutality enough to charge offending police officers with the same reckless abandonment that they had charged Jay with pointing a flashlight. Black people have been subjected to systemic abuse for hundreds of years. Every time they stand up in self-defense against systemic tyranny in the good old US of A, they are demonized and dealt with, but not the vicious monsters that legally, recklessly, wantonly threaten and take black lives. It's a different treatment there. The system is broken or infested with rats gnawing away at the fabric of black life in America. It seems like an easy fix, but old habits do die hard. An armed militant group is a symptom. An armed militant group is a symptom of a disease in our nation. All right? Nobody wants to have to take up arms. And shouldn't have to. In an ideal world anyway. Nobody wants to go to war. You know what happens at war. It doesn't matter if you got a vest on, military-grade weapons, military-grade friends, doesn't matter. Everyone dies, right? Nobody wants to go to war. It's not a happy ending. Anyway, an armed militant group is a symptom of a disease in our nation. The disease is, but not limited to, injustice, hatred, disdain, and fear. Could the NFAC really trust law enforcement who suspiciously got a warrant? I think it was a no-knock warrant for the home of a suspect's ex-paramour or girlfriend. Knocked her door down during the late night hours, responded to a single shot fired in defense of her property by her guest and paramour by shooting recklessly into her home and a neighbor's home, murdering an innocent woman and charging no one for the crime. They found no drugs in their house or anything like that. I heard an interesting story today about something they did find in there, but I'm not going to go there. I'm going to stay the course, because that's something was not reported. Anyway, not thinking a crime had been committed, just oops, too bad, collateral damage. No regard for the value of Breonna Taylor's life and property or her rights. Is the NFAC really safe in the presence of these monsters of justice? Yeah? Can you really be safe in the belly of the beast? From Fox News. The police officer was the hero was a guy named Brett Hankison, right? He's the only person charged in connection with the raid that ended in Breonna Taylor's death. He was acquitted of those charges, right? Hankison was charged 45. Charged of on three counts of wanton endangerment, right? That means that he shouldn't have done it, right? He did something he shouldn't have done, and he endangered the lives of people, right? Which is punishable by 1 to 5 years in prison for firing shots during the raid that went through a sliding glass door and a window of Taylor's apartment and into a unit next door, right, where a couple and a small child lived at, right? So you got to wonder, is that police procedure to just shoot up inside of a house like that? And you don't see a person. You don't know if kids are playing video games or waking up going to the bathroom. Babies crying. None of that matters. People getting out of bed trying to figure out what the hell's going on, because there was some confusion about who was at the door that night at the Taylor home. But they say they did not hear anybody announce anything. Well, the boyfriend did anyway. Breonna can't talk. She's dead. 5 years in prison is hardly a consequence for homicide. The three counts of wanton endangerment was the DA's and law enforcement's way of deciding and saying no one is being charged for the murder of Breonna Taylor. That is the result of the instant pre-trial. Law enforcement gets a murderous pass and Breonna Taylor gets 8 shots to the chest. I think she was shot 8 times in the chest. It was 8 shots fired. I don't know which one it was, but she gets shot in the chest and killed. She's unarmed, just getting out of bed, right? Startled by these jokers knocking down her door. Trailing her paramour, who's defending of her and a property, right? My friend is right. The courtroom is where they explain or excuse the obvious away. And so is the DA's office in the street. Because if you're not arrested for something that you're doing, can't be charged for something that you're not under arrest for, right? So the DA makes sure that the charges are pressed against you, but the police tell him, yeah, he had a gun and robbed, you know, this man right here. But they have this code also that, where they don't snitch on each other, right? So police just another gang. From WHASLLABC, right? Grandmaster Jay is accused of aiming a rifle at members of the U.S. Secret Service and the LMPD. According to the criminal complaint, officers were conducting a watch over a crowd at Jefferson Square Park the night when they heard 6 to 8 heavily armed people were parked on Armory Place. When the officers went to look down on Armory Place, they were blinded by a light, which they shortly thereafter determined was a flashlight mounted to a rifle that John Johnson, Grandmaster Jay, had pointed at the rooftop, right? So law enforcement was informed that the NSAC militant group would be peacefully gathering. So why are they surveilling the movement of the NSAC? It's a peaceful armed protest. The alleged crimes Jay was charged with paint quite a different picture. It paints a picture of unrest, agitators, lawbreakers, killers, potential threats to the security of the United States of America. How dare they come to protest the police late night murdering of an innocent black woman, Breonna Taylor, in her own home? How dare they care that no one was arrested and charged with her murder? How dare they attempt to force the hand of justice to actually administer justice? How dare those uppity Negroes threaten us with their armed presence, legal mumbo-jumbo, and fearless demeanor? I think they had a photo that was provided in the probable cause affidavit that showed a person pointing a rifle toward the top of the building. And the complaint also said surveillance footage showed none of the members sought cover after seeing officers on the roof, saying they did not appear to be alarmed or concerned about their safety. Now, I thought that was a very, hope these guys are not a part of it. Any section of intelligence, police intelligence, because that sounds ignorant right there. Anyway, surveillance footage showed none of the members sought cover after seeing the people on the roof does not mean they were not concerned about the identity or actions of who was on the roof. They don't have to act alarmed to be concerned about their safety. They don't have to seek cover to be curious about a potential threat. How do people get to say things like that? Not everybody. Not everybody. Not everybody is a raving coward. Pointing a flashlight is the result of alarm or concerned behavior. These cops apparently aren't used to seeing men behaving like men. Hell, I've seen the same behavior in the hood with unarmed teenagers confronting a perceived lethal threat. Everybody is not afraid like that. So what? They didn't seek cover. Neither did these teenagers. It was their assessment that they didn't need to. It is a coward's assessment. It is a coward's assessment that they should have ran for cover and not a shot was fired during the nonviolent protest. If they were at war, shots would have been fired at the rooftop. Not a flashlight. You can't return fire running away. You can't get shot in the behind, in the back. They simply are not fearful cowards. And you can't use a coward standard to measure a real man's courage. I hope that was not something that they said in court. And they used it in a way that to be anything, to mean anything, because you can't take a punk or to measure people that have courage. Can't do that. You've seen that with these kids that just got murdered in Texas. Took one Border Patrol law enforcement officer to come in there and take that guy down. Other guys just hovered with AR-15. You a coward? You're a coward. That's what you are. You can't help who you are. Sometimes, anyway. Some people have hearts are bad, and they're going to stay bad. They only move when they have advantage. When you reach for your license plate, move, or you're talking reckless to them, they only good for that kind of shooting. Anyway. That sounds like law enforcement's excuse for killing. I fear for my life in the absence of a lethal threat. That sounds like, with some law enforcement, I ain't saying all law enforcement officers are cowards either. Cause some of them got some serious heart, like that brother that went in that school, put that nut down, killing them kids. Like those parents that were standing outside the school. Anyway. Law enforcement shortly thereafter determined it was a flashlight mounted to a rifle being aimed at them by Johnson. That means they didn't feel threatened at all, which accounts for the absence of gunfire or an arrest on the scene. Which brings me to, why didn't the law enforcement officers defend themselves when under the alleged assault, right? What was Jay resisting if he was looking to see who or what was occurring on the roof? How does that equate to resisting? And I'm not the sharpest knife in the kitchen. But somebody need to help me out with that, because is it so because you say so, which is what it sounds like to me. It is so because someone said so. They wrote it on a piece of paper, a document, an indictment, and there's so. What was Jay resisting if he was looking to see who or what was occurring on the roof? What investigation was Jay impeding? And it was already known to law enforcement that Jay and the NFAC would be armed, right? They'd have weapons, right? And what is the crime of violence? Not a shot was fired. Are we to believe that a crime of violence was perpetrated against law enforcement? And they just didn't shoot or kill the perpetrator. The perpetrator just left town the way he came in. Trying to figure this out. Which brings me to, how is shining a light at police on a rooftop, as determined by police, right? How does that end up being assaulting, resisting, or impeding, and one count of brandishing a firearm in relation to a crime of violence? What crime of violence? Where's the violence? Are we to believe violence was perpetrated on armed police and not a shot? Not a shot was fired, no arrest no arrest. That can only occur because there was no violence, threat, or assault. Maybe those guys on the roof didn't even perceive that as an assault. Maybe the guys who wanted this to happen looked into expressing this, right? So that it is perceived that way. You can't brandish or show a weapon that you are openly carrying or using the flashlight at the tip of the weapon's barrel. I don't get this whole thing. But I do get it. I get why they taking this man down. And all they needed was him to do something. And he did this something that they could use to take him down. Doesn't matter how accurate or appropriate their accusation is. As you can see, he's found guilty. So things are going as planned, right? The term brandish means, with respect to a firearm, it means to display all or part of the firearm, whereas the open carry, so it's already displayed, right? Make the presence of a firearm known to another person in order to intimidate that person, regardless whether the firearm is directly visible to that person. So, Jay was shining a light on the roof, right? Not in order to intimidate anybody. I'm going to go on a limb and say, just the presence of Jay and the armed, organized the NFAC intimidated certain persons in Louisville. I'm going to go on a limb and say that, yes. The intimidation factor was in just based on the color of his skin, and to add salt to injury, he was armed and so was his buddies, and they knew what they were doing. So that's an intimidating factor. And organized, well-read, disciplined group of Negroes. I'm going to say Negroes. You understand what I'm saying? So folks was already intimidated. So what they had to do was find a way to get rid of this goddamn Negro. How do we get rid of that? That's Jay, just one man. So if the NFAC did their homework, and I think they have, you have not put a dent into the organization. He's one man. But it's a lesson well learned. Law enforcement and their mother knew the NFAC was visibly armed. So nobody's brandishing anything. That man was just shining a light up to see what's going on. Come on now, these... Sounds like some trumped up stretch of the imagination, fictitious charges designed to cut the head off of the NFAC. At best, Jay is guilty of investigating suspicious activity by pointing his flashlight, which was attached to the barrel of his long gun, at the top of the roof that law enforcement officers were on. What men in a vehicle could be, they'd be investigating on a rooftop. Just because police say they will be the only persons on the roof doesn't guarantee that they will be the only persons on the roof. That is probably why Jay flashed his light on the rooftop, as not to alarm anyone while illuminating the area so that he could assess his safety concerns, so that he could assess his safety concerns. Why didn't law enforcement identify Jay as friendly after all? He had just met with them and does not have a history of aggression, assault, impeding an investigation, or committing criminal acts unless authorized by his U.S. military superiors. I just threw that in there because he's a soldier. Sounds like another poor excuse of I feared for my life. And I guess a black man unafraid, heavily armed, in numbers, that's pretty fearful to any peoples who have been trying to do submit them to tyranny and abuse and things like that. I guess that would scare the hell out of a bully. If you see a guy that you, you know, thought you could bully coming down the street, strapped to the teeth. Whatever happened to the guys in the vehicle, law enforcement officers were investigating. Had to be a lot of people arriving in vehicles that day, armed. How can shining a light impede an investigation? Impede means to delay, make difficult, or prevent from doing something. So it's no secret that these guys are on the roof. So he's trying to shine a light up there. That's not going to impede what they have to do, right? Because they told him he was going to be on the roof, right? They were going to be on the roof. Jay was making sure that everything was okay up there. As I said, that how can they really trust these guys anyway? We blacks don't have a relationship with law enforcement in this country where they trust law enforcement with their lives. I mean, they are forced to do it in some occasions, but that's the reason why they're down there. Law enforcement, out of order. Nobody's doing anything about it. Woman is dead, and it's too bad. That guy was reckless. Let's fire him for being reckless, shooting in, recklessly. But well, we ain't charging him for that. Negroes, right? And I'm being nice saying Negro. From WDRB.com. Grandmaster Jay found guilty of federal charges stemming from the 2020 protest in downtown Louisville. Grandmaster Jay was accused of pointing a rifle at federal officers during Breonna Taylor protest in downtown Louisville, right? The group said they were demonstrating because they felt the Kentucky Derby should not be taking place when no criminal charges had been filed in connection with the death of Breonna Taylor. So maybe they got mad because they get interfering with the Kentucky Derby. How dare those uppity Negroes with their firearms, their legal mumbo jumbo. An organization interfere with folks that's doing down here. Anyway, no charges filed when an innocent unarmed black woman was gunned down by police in her home, right? Recklessly, right? They said the guy shot recklessly into the house, right? No charges filed. She's gunned down in her home by police, Louisville police, right? But charges filed when Jay shines a light on a rooftop where police are observing them. That is pointing the flashlight mounted at the barrel of his rifle at the roof. Problem is, why didn't they fire upon Jay if their lives were in danger? They were being assaulted or threatened. I mean, they just gunned Jay down. They had every right to, right? They get away with, he could have pointed his finger up there and they could have gunned him down and said they feared for their life. But this man pointed a flashlight, see what was going on. Because he's not putting his hands, his life, right, in the hands of some people who already proved that they don't care about black life. Why wasn't Jay arrested on that day? Why wasn't Jay shot or shot at if they feared or had reason? Right? If they were under assault or being threatened with lethal force to fear for their life. They can get away with that. We can't. They can't. The article went on to say surveillance images that federal authorities say show John Johnson, Grandmaster Jay, pointing a rifle at officers. They conveniently left out the flashlight at the end of the rifle and the fact that he was pointing shining a light on the rooftop to see what was going on. They didn't even mention that, shining a light on a rooftop. That's the difference between shining a light on a rooftop at that light is on the tip of the weapon. And it's the difference between doing that and pointing a rifle at them. And I got a feeling that these guys on the rooftop didn't feel threatened at all. And if they did, they could have, because like I said, got a lot of cowards out here. And if they felt threatened, they should have been firing back at that light, because that's easy to hit. That's an easy target. Anyway, at the time, the LMPD officers at the scene received a radio transmission stating that a group of 6 to 8 heavily armed individuals were parked on Armory Place near the parking garage, according to. I don't even know what that relationship to. I don't know the geography down there. Anyway, 2 federal officers and 3 LMPD officers then went to the top of the nearby Jefferson County Grand Jury building to watch the group, but were blinded by a flashlight when they leaned over the roof, the affidavit said. So I don't know. So I don't know if they looked first. One guy reported they was looking at the group and in this not effing around coalition. He said I don't know what's going on here, but that ain't even the point. I need more information. What group are they watching on the roof? The NFC or the 6 to 8 persons in the vehicle? Were they also members of the NFAC? Were armed law enforcement afraid to approach the armed people in the vehicle? Because it seemed like they should have just approached them and said, you just wanted to know who you are with on the NFAC, or are you down here to, kill a couple of people? You could have just went on them armed. You could have pointed your guns at them and asked them, like you normally do. But it seems like these guys don't point guns at people who are armed and ready, adequately armed and may know how to use their weapons. It seems like they have a problem with that. Anyway, can that be because they weren't outgunned and asleep in bed? Maybe they didn't post the people in the car because the people in the car weren't outgunned and they were wide awake. When they can't startle them. Anyway, prosecutors say that the flashlight was attached to the barrel of John's rifle. Well, yeah, well, that's what a flashlight is. And you shine a flashlight to see, right? They found him guilty of 1 count of assaulting, resisting, and impeding, and 1 count of brandishing a firearm, as I said, in relation to violence, right? So, saying like, damn. Jay was in legal possession of a legal weapon in public, not committing a crime. He used a light mounted on a rifle to illuminate the rooftop to see who was up there, possibly pointing weapons at the black military group. We don't know, right? He in Louisville. So read your history about Louisville, all right? He pointed flashlight mounted at the end of his rifle to illuminate the rooftop, hence, the officers were blinded when they leaned over the roof. Did he violently shine the light on a rooftop? Because that would have been some bullets behind that light. First, this militant group has coordinated marches with local police every time they march, and never have they intimidated, assaulted, shot or killed any law enforcement personnel or anybody. Right? That's because law enforcement did not behave in a suspicious manner that would reasonably be perceived as a threat to the members of the group. Investigating what vehicle, what armed people, right? Law enforcement knows the NFAC would be there because it was coordinated with police. They met before the protest. Now police need to investigate 8 armed individuals in a vehicle. Well, the NFAC members have to get there to their destinations, right? So I'm sure they came in cars, vans, motorcycles, or whatever. What could be more alarming about people armed in a vehicle when you know there are people armed in vehicles arriving in town? Again, seems like law enforcement was afraid to approach the people in the vehicle. You most definitely can't approach them from the rooftop, but you will be safer from harm. Maybe I misunderstood that part of the story. This is exactly why black people have learned not to trust law enforcement and government, particularly when the law enforcement and government target and seek to criminalize, demonize, and incarcerate blacks when exercising their constitutional rights, in this case, the right to bear arms and protest. That is how you conjure up charges and attempt to send a man to prison for 7 to 20 years for shining his flashlight on a rooftop where law enforcement are creeping around suspiciously. A police officer in Chicago shot a 17-year-old to death 16 times as he lay on the ground. He did all of that within less than 30 seconds arriving on the scene. The police had already been on the scene, right? Shot him 16 times on the ground. He was released from a prison in about 7 years. Jay, a trained soldier, is accused of assaulting law enforcement by pointing his flashlight at the rooftop where law enforcement officers have not identified themselves as police officers but are acting suspiciously and possibly in a threatening manner towards the NFA, a perceived threatening manner toward the NFAC members legally gathered below. Let's face it, we have trust issues, particularly in places where law enforcement is allowed to murder without consequences. Breonna Taylor, no one has been on trial for the murder of Breonna Taylor. No one. From WHASLLABC continued, said that, quoted U.S. Attorney Russell Coleman, said in Kentucky, they reserve the First Amendment, the First and Second Amendment freedoms, not foolishness, which puts police and protesters at grave risk. So they're saying it's foolish for Master J to be concerned about something on the rooftop and them in Louisville, Kentucky, because they have the everything covered. We got you covered. Anyway, somebody by the name of Dave Mutchler, press secretary for the PIO, for the Fraternal Order of Police, says federal investigations are more deliberate. So he's not surprised by the 3-month timeline. Got to get the story together. Got to check everything out. Make sure that it sticks, right? Get all your ducks in order, right? It took 3 months to investigate a man pointing a flashlight at the end of a rifle at a rooftop. He's not surprised at that. You should be surprised at that. They got video surveillance and everything. 3 months. This thing has conspiracy written all over it. The FOP is satisfied that the federal government is bringing these charges. Damn right. They there because of you. See that? That's the intimidation factor. Just a black man being highly organized or showing up in a place where they're in the habit of putting their foot up black man's behind, calling them boy, and, you know, little to no consequences. Local advocate and pastor Tim Finley Jr. says, the timing is not just. To use this and to make this move 3 months later speaks of the flawed, ridiculous, racist, unfair policing structure in this city. Again, because we're not going to leave out Breonna Taylor, right? Grandmaster Jay is a national figure, so this, once again, makes Louisville look like the hot spot of racism. You think? I think we got a couple of hot spots of racism here. And, like, you know, I know people would like to think that that doesn't exist in the United States of America today, but are you kidding? It was overt about 50 years ago. Martin Luther King, and that was fighting for civil rights 50, 60 years ago. Are you kidding? So I thought, my thoughts exactly. Police can get a no-knock search warrant or a search warrant for a home of the ex-paramour of a suspect. They arrested, because they arrested the suspect that before they went to Breonna Taylor's house. Knock on her door, right? They said they knocked on the door. They didn't hear nobody answered, so they kicked her door down. What kind of nonsense is that? In the middle of the night. And kill her. And not one DA press homicide charges 3 months later. I guess the FOP likes that too. Breonna's paramour shot a cop in the leg, firing only one time in a downward angle. Pay attention to this. This is a civilian, not a trained. The police supposed, this unit supposed to be trained. Man shot once because he didn't know who was coming to the house. They just heard the noise, but they went near because somebody was at the door. By the time they got there, the door came, it broke the door down and busted in the house. He shot one down in the leg. He shot once. How can this guy have this type of control under these conditions? Yet a trained officer, a supposedly trained officer, right, lights up the whole building. He shot in a downward angle and still no charges or conviction for him. Shot up. Who shoots the police in the leg and get no charges, you're not still in jail. As I said, it was the story was different. You know, they were talking about how they knocked, said police and all that, and the boyfriend was saying, we ain't hear nothing. We just got out of bed with some noise over there. We got there, you know, somebody coming in the house. Might have thought it was the old drug dealing boyfriend coming in there for something. You know, we don't know. Could have been anybody. Could have been some bum breaking into the house. Anyway, no charges of conviction for him, but Breonna Taylor has been murdered by cops firing blindly into her home after apparently deceiving a judge to sign off on the warrant. You got to read this story. The judge made a comment about the warrant that they wrote, the information they wrote to get the warrant. That is the type of law enforcement Louisville is pursuing. The type of injustice Louisville is pursuing. So I'm not surprised about what happened to Grandmaster Jay. Louisville drug enforcement officers have been accused of stealing money from raids. The whole story on that, go check it out. Nothing has been done about that either. Brett Hankinson, former narcotics detective, testified he saw a muzzle flash from Taylor's darkened hallway after police burst through the door. So officers, he thought the officers were under heavy fire, so he quickly reeled around a corner and sprayed 10 bullets, hoping to end the threat. Well, that's conflicting. I thought somebody was under heavy fire, number one. If you're looking, you should know. If you're there, you should know. Assistant Kentucky Attorney General Barbara Main said he was never in the doorway. His wanton conduct could have multiplied her death by 3 easily, right? But actually, he could have killed 5 people. None of the other officers who testified recall Hankinson being in the doorway before the gunfire began. The shells from his weapon were found in the parking lot amongst a row of cars, okay? Did I tell you this scary cat, coward, right? And you got to read that story about this corruption on these drug units. Because some of the guys that were here, it's a part of that story. You want to tell me how he's seeing anything, a muscle, from inside the door, inside the house, if he's standing out in the parking lot? Did he run out to the cars and start shooting? Some coward stuff. Hankinson was over there shooting wildly through sliding glass doors covered with vertical blinds and drapes. That's what that coward was doing. But nobody cared about that, right? Asked if he did anything wrong that night, he said, absolutely not. Hankinson was fired from the Louisville police for shooting blindly during the raid. He was fired from the Louisville Police Department for shooting blindly during the raid. That means Louisville police did not feel Hankinson is guilty of murdering Breonna Taylor in a home or guilty of firing recklessly into her home. How bizarre is that? Now, that's if his bullets were the bullets that struck Breonna, if they are. He's a cold-blooded murderer. A scary one, but that's the worst kind. Scary guys with guns kill faster than these other guys who are targeting people, and, you know, because a scary guy is going to, like what happened in down South Street, some scary guys with guns started shooting when some other guys had a gunfight down South Street in Philadelphia. Some other scary guys with guns started shooting into the crowd, so they thought somebody was shooting at them. Scary guys should not have guns. It also says that Louisville police are not responsible for the life of people injured or killed due to their reckless behavior, due to the reckless behavior of law enforcement. Don't try this at home, kids. You will be arrested and convicted. You may be gunned down. I guess the NFAC makes the FOP feel unsafe. Now they have an idea how black folks feel. Grandmaster Jay, arrested and convicted on these trumped up charges, which he may serve a minimum of 7 years without probation, without parole, I mean, to 20 years in a federal prison. If you know federal prison, There is no parole. You're doing every day they give you, unless you snitch on somebody. You're a rat, you can get out. I don't know if you guys remember the Black Panther. I'm just going to show you how there's a difference between how people respond to black folks gathering, and then they respond to white folks gathering under the same similar conditions, you know, armed, you know, even, you know. In May 2nd, 1967, a group of 30 Black Panthers walked into the California State Capitol building, toting rifles and shotguns, and quickly garnering national headlines, right? The incident was, this article is from the HuffPost. The incident basically is an example of the way America tend to respond to black protests, which some say is always likely to be different from the way Americans react to its white people doing the protesting. Remember the people running up in the Capitol and all that good stuff? Nobody called the National Guard till I don't know when. That's interesting. Anyway, they got called, but hey, they were late to the party. Anyway, Huey P. Newton, Bobby Seale formed the Black Panther Party of Self-Defense as a small community organization based in Oakland, California, right? They believe black Americans should exercise their constitutional rights to defend themselves against the oppressive U.S. government. California lawmakers were trying to strip them of that right, right? The Black Panthers wanted to tell the U.S. and the world that they found this unacceptable. Among other things, the Black Panthers' agenda involved taking up arms and patrolling their community to protect against rampant racism and policing, carrying guns openly in compliance with California law, driving around their neighborhoods, observing arrests and other law enforcement activity, effectively policing the police. Newton was even known for packing a law book alongside his rifle, which he will recite from when informing an officer that civilians' rights were being violated. The patrols weren't meant to encourage violence. The Panthers were committed to using force only if it was used against them. And at first, their mere presence appeared to be working as a check on abusive policing. But the Panthers' willful assertion of their rights, like the day Huey P. Newton reportedly stood up to a cop in front of a crowd of black onlookers, was unacceptable to white authority figures. Who come to expect complete difference from black community and who were unhappy to use fear and force to extract it. That's like a slave revolt uprising, right? A black man standing up to a cop who is attempting to intimidate, acting outside of the scope of his authority and the law, is a spark that could lead to a fire or a multitude of black people acting in unity against police brutality and injustice. In short, how dare those Negroes, those uppity Negroes, defend themselves with the law and the threat of self-defense. Don Morford, a GOP assemblyman who represented Oakland, responded to the Black Panther police patrols in 1967 with a bill to strip Californians of the right to openly carry firearms. That's how you got this thing. Nobody tried to stop the 30 Black Panthers. 24 men, 6 women, there's some sisters right there, carrying rifles, shotguns, and revolvers as they walked through the door of the state capitol building. The protesters were, after all, legally allowed to have their weapons. They entered with their guns and pointed at the ceiling. Behind them followed a horde of journalists who called to document the protest. They called the journalists to that, right? 6 Panthers entered the assembly chamber where they found lawmakers, mid-session, right? Some legislators reportedly saw the protesters and took cover under their desk. It was the last straw. Police finally ordered the protesters to leave the premises. The group maintained that they were within their right to be in the Capitol with their guns, but eventually they exited peacefully. Outside, Bobby Seale delivered the Black Panther Party executive mandate. Black people have begged, prayed, petitioned, demonstrated, and everything else to get that the racist power structure of America to right the wrongs which have historically been perpetrated against Black people. All of these efforts have been answered by more repression, deceit, and hypocrisy. As the aggression of the racist American government escalates in Vietnam, the police agencies of America escalate the oppression of Black people throughout the ghettos in America, right? Vicious police dogs, cattle prods, and increased patrols have become familiar sights in Black communities. City Hall turns a deaf ear to the pleas of Black people for relief from this increasing terror. That sounds like Ben Crump's statement after Jalen Randall, a 29-year-old Black man, was shot in the back of the neck by Houston police. That was this year, y'all. Anyway, shortly after Bobby Seale gave that mandate, police arrested the group on felony charges of conspiracy to disrupt a legislative session. You get my drift here? Seale accused them of manufacturing trumped-up charges, but the protesters would later plead guilty to lesser misdemeanors. How do people just get to manipulate the law like that? And why don't they deal with the problem instead of people's reaction to the problem? It's like somebody want to put their foot on your neck, but they don't want you to scream. They don't want you to kick them in the nuts or nothing like that. Really? Morpher's legislation became known as the Panthers Bill, passed with the support of the National Rifle Association, which apparently believed that the whole good guy with a gun thing didn't apply to Black people. California Governor then, Ronald Reagan, signed into the bill into law, right? The Morpher Act of 1967 is a bill that prohibited public carrying of a loaded firearms without a permit, right? It was named after Republican Assemblyman Don Morpher, right? That was his baby, right? So there you have it, right? You see the similarities between then and now. And a lot of people say things have changed, and things have changed, and things have not changed. You know what I'm saying? We had the Black Panthers marching armed with an armed organization of then, and now we got this NFAC. Why do Black people have to do this just to stay alive, just to get some justice? Because we don't want justice. We want you to stop killing us. Stop being taking our lives for granted. You know, that's better than, because we don't have to go through all these protests if you do right by us. If you cared a little bit. If you had any integrity. Anyway, they attracted the attention of FBI Director J. Edgar Hoover, who took steps to ensure that the public support for the Black Panthers would remain marginal, right? Because after that, they got bigger, right? Anyway, he deemed the Black group a Black nationalist hate type organization to be neutralized by COINTELPRO, a controversial initiative that notoriously skirted the law, right? In its attempt to subvert any movement that Hoover saw as a potential source of civil disorder. So it's no civil disorder to lynch us, to deny us of our rights, and to treat us like almost like cattle. An FBI informant had actually provided the Black Panthers with weapons and training as early as 1967, just 2 months after Hoover put the Black Panthers in his sights. Newton was arrested and convicted of killing Oakland police officer John Frey, a contested development of the, and the first in a series of major nationwide controversies that engulfed the movement. Newton ultimately served 2 years of his sentence before his conviction was overturned in a set of appeals. High-profile shootouts with police and arrests of members created further risk in the group's leadership and helped cement the white establishment depiction of Black Panthers as extremists. All right, so they were infiltrated by people who look like them. Basically, that's what it's saying. So I run out of time. I'm going to thank everybody for calling in and listening. And I'll do your own homework, you know, read about this shit, because this stuff just seems like, you know, if you live long enough, you see some things. Somebody told me that a long time ago. Things just come back around. It's like we just doing the same thing, marching, organizing, leaders getting taken down of some kind of way. And, you know, Black president, I don't know. I wasn't too thrilled about that myself. Some people were. They had expectations. I didn't. He's the president of the United States, not the president of the Black people. So maybe we need to start getting our thing together, because that's all I'm getting from all of this here. When I go back to history up until today, seems like we need to stop, put the brakes on the nonsense that's happening in our community, particularly the violence and the drug dealing. And we need to start working to bring everybody up and stop dreaming about having things that out of your reach. Put those things within your reach, or reach for things that are within your reach. Jump. Help somebody get to that height. Till next week, y'all, I want everyone to reach everyone, each one, reach one, each one, teach one. Keep your head on a swivel. Hate to say that, but man, seem to be the way we live in nowadays. Some of us. Till next week. Peace, y'all.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials, because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox and Four Parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner, because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run, or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Report from 29 District. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose.
knows. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The